Welcome to episode 74 of the Golf Talk podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. This is Eric Brzezeski in Erie, Pennsylvania, and joining me this week, Alan Olson.
Not Minnesota. Actually, I'm calling live from Plainsville, Michigan.
The LPGA logo, there's a new LPGA logo. Apparently, they had Michelle Wee pose for it or something. I mean, the thing looks, you'll see it in our link in our show notes, but the thing, who else could it be? It's Michelle Wee. I mean, nobody else is limber enough or quite that tall and has a ponytail like this. I mean, this is, could it possibly be anybody else?
No. It is Michelle Wee, and it's kind of bizarre that that's who they're deciding to hitch their wagon to.
And it's this weird colored swooshy thingy. You know, I know the NBA logo is supposed to be, what, Jerry West? And I'm not sure who the PGA Tour logo is. The guy's so far away. All you can see is that the guy has bell-bottoms on, probably. maybe Johnny Miller, for all I know. This looks like Michelle Wee, so it's kind of odd. Yeah. I mean, they'll deny it. They'll say, oh, it's just whatever. This new logo underscores the changes in women's sports and the LPGA in recent years and communicates the LPGA's bright future.
Yeah. You wonder how much they paid a marketing consultant to come up with that one.
Michelle, we did play in, after taking some time off and starting at Sanford and stuff, she did play in the LPGA Tour event, the Samsung whatever, invitational event. Only 20 players were there. Michelle Wee was offered, there's a lot of stuff here, but Michelle Wee was offered an invitation a long, long, long time ago, back in May or something, by Samsung. And then they had a little used provision that they could invite the U.S. Women's Amateur Champion that they hadn't used in a number of years. So they changed it to allow a current Hall of Famer so they could invite Annika Sorenstam, who didn't qualify. That, of course, kind of upset Kari Webb and Julie Inkster, who are also current playing Hall of Fame members. Why they'd invite Annika and not them. Arguably, both of them had better years than Annika. So, you know, Inkster and Kari Webb both played very well. So Annika eventually did the right thing and withdrew, which let Sara Lee, who did qualify, back in. And what's odd is that had Michelle Wee withdrawn, Natalie Gulbis would have gotten in. So it's kind of two things. One, should she have withdrawn, Alan? And two, how the heck did Natalie Gulbis not have a good enough year where she'd qualify for this event on her own?
I think with the whole Michelle Wee thing, for her sake, a little bit better publicity if she would have just came out and said, you know what, I haven't played golf very well this year. It's been a bad year for me. I'm withdrawing. Bam. Instant credibility. But, you know, she accepted the invitation from what, May?
May when they first offered it. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she shows up, shoots, you know, whatever, 79, comes in, what, 19th out of 20th. And
hey, she, give her credit. Really, she shot a final day 71 to Bettina Howarth's 76 to pull one shot ahead of her, winning $13,125. That'll pay room and board at Sanford for like a quarter.
It'll buy you some books.
Right. Yeah. She didn't finish last. I mean, you got to give her credit for that. But
I mean, on one hand, you've got somebody who has not played. I mean, Michelle Wee's for this year has played just atrociously bad golf. For her standards.
How much? From somebody who has you weren't on the podcast. So how much of that do you think is a middle finger towards her parents, even subconsciously? Maybe
it could be. You know, maybe finally, you know, she's kind of branching out and just saying, you know what, I'm going to do my thing my way, and hopefully this is the beginning of a new Michelle Wee.
Okay, well, she finished 36 strokes back of Lorena Ochoa, who won. It's tough in a 20 person field to finish 36 strokes back of the winner.
But she found a way.
And Bettina finished 37 back, so hey, good for her, I guess. Lorena Ochoa winning her seventh time for the year, you know, distancing herself even further, so congrats. Her streak of four in a row, I think, was broken at the fourth or something, so that's still not ongoing, but her seventh win of the season, so she locks up Player of the Year honors. So congratulations to her, and, you know, I mean, we'll see what happens with Michelle Wee next year. You know, she'll have all winter. She'll hopefully be kind of away from her parents, even though they've rented a house near Stanford. Hopefully she can kind of get back to normal a little bit, because she has talent. We've never denied that, but we haven't seen it this year.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, this will be – well, and I think the other thing, too, which was brought up in one of the articles that we'll link to, is she's no longer this – you know, 14-year-old phenom, golf prodigy.
She's no longer in the top 10 best female teenage golfers.
No, there are girls that are her age or even younger that hit the ball just as far. And
majors, right?
Have one period.
I think Paula Creamer is now like 20 or something, so she's no longer in there. But yeah, a lot of teen women golfers that are better than Michelle at this point, by far. Oh well, we'll be right back after this message from Titleist. Stay tuned.
I'm working on posting more red numbers.
I'm working on the fundamentals.
Firing right at the target.
Winning my first major.
Pulling out.
Winning in my hometown, Augusta, Georgia.
Being a winner and a mom.
Working on my pivot.
My short game.
Going lower.
I'm just working on sticking to my game plan.
Ball position and alignment.
What I'm going to wear tomorrow.
Nice shirt.
Just trying to get better every day.
Even the world's best want to be better. That's why there's the new Pro V1 and Pro V1X.
And welcome back. This week's forum topic of the week, it's a whole lot of BS, basically. You've probably heard of, we've mentioned her on the show before. I think when she had six or five holes in one or something, I don't know.
Something like that.
Jacqueline Gagne is full of crap, basically. She claims to have like 16 aces in a span of like 6 or 7 months over the course of this year. She's only ever seen three go in the hole, and nobody else has ever seen any go in the hole. There was an article in Golf Digest then, too. No, she hits ball towards the trees. Everybody goes and looks for balls, and someone goes, "We should look in the cup." Oh, there's her ball. You know, this doesn't happen. Most of the witnesses won't talk. Some courses don't even have a record that she played there the day she claims to have made holes in one. What's an adequate punishment for this lady?
Ignoring her. I mean, that's about the only thing that we, you know, that you can really do. I mean, the Golf Digest article came out and
they're trying to shame her, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, some of the stuff that she's claiming, you know, setting a course record at, I can't remember the course, you know, she shoots a 61.
Yeah, she's like a 10 handicap.
Right.
Maybe. Well, I mean, she could be a 40.
Is she a 10? Is she a 4? I don't know. I mean, the article listed three different handicaps for her in the span of, you know, 3 months. And she shoots a 61, and, you know, the head pro can't even find any evidence that she was even playing there ever. So, yeah, I think you called it. It's BS right off the top. I don't know what's going on with her, but...
I'm all for it. I think we should bring back stoning, except maybe we can just all chuck pinnacles at her or something.
Top flights.
She has a blog and everything, so, you know, she's doing a good job tooting her own horn here. I don't know. It's golf. This is an honest sport with a lot of integrity, and she's pooping all over it. So
maybe she have bad karma for the rest of her golfing life.
That's it. That's a good punishment. So we will be right back after this message.
I'm working on shortening my swing.
Holding up more trophies.
Making the next Ryder Cup team.
Posting more low numbers.
Making everything I look at.
Getting the club more in line at the top.
Drawing the ball.
Working on my pivot.
Being more consistent.
More wins.
More wins.
More wins.
More wins.
Full majors.
Just trying to get better.
Working on beating this guy.
Working on a whole lot of things. Even the world's best want to be better. That's why there's the new Pro V1 and Pro V1X.
And welcome back. A couple of international stories to wrap things up, because we are doing a kind of a bi-weekly podcast at this point. Ernie Els finally wins something. He beat Angel Cabrera at the match play final, the HSBC World Match Play, played in a country not named the United States, so most of you probably didn't hear about it. But some good golf was played, and Ernie Els pretty much beat Angel Cabrera handily. Is Ernie Els going to win on the PGA Tour again, Alan? And will he ever win another major?
I think he'll win on the PGA Tour. I mean, watching him play the last half of the year, you can see the...
Maybe he should play some of the fall finish. He could win some of those tournaments, right?
I would think so, but since, you know, they don't really count for it much of anything, being the, the nationwide AAA event or something like that.
Well, you still get a two-year exemption on the PGA Tour.
Very true, but the Masters won't let you in.
That's true. And the Els may need a two-year exemption on the PGA Tour soon.
He might at the rate he needs to do. Yeah, he needs to play well.
A major? No.
No.
Ernie
no
Els
majors for
over the hill.
No majors at 38.
He should hire Jacqueline Gagne as a coach. See, now George McNeil, and if you want to say who, just look it up. George McNeil, who wins his first career PGA Tour event at the Fries.com Open, not to be confused with the Fries Electronics Open, which I think is like next week or something. they're in the same area, and they both have Fries in the name. Anyway, the part of the fall finish, this is the fourth event. Chad Campbell, Justin Leonard, and Steve Flesch, kind of what I would say a tier above this George McNeil fellow, won the previous three. You look at the leaderboard of this PGA Tour event, and you're like, who's that? Who's that? Who's that? And who's that? That's the leaderboard. Unlike some of the other events where I like that the first three events went to people who had won before like Justin Leonard. You know, I mean, that was like his 12th victory. He's won a major. Ted Campbell, you know, those kind of guys. I liked that the first three events went to those kind of guys and not nationwide tour types who we've never heard of before.
Right.
But George McNeil?
Who? Exactly.
Congratulations. You've won
a two-year
exemption on The Price is Right.
With Drew Carey.
Come on down.
Pretty much. Nah, congratulations. The guy won a PGA Tour event, but yeah, at this point, it's kind of hard when it's, I wouldn't even know two-thirds of the field if they were in my living room.
Paul Tatarangi. Hey, just saying. Anyway, Steve Elling is just saying that the fall series events feel like an afterthought. Yeah, I don't have much more to say than that.
I would completely agree.
Agreed. They feel like an afterthought. It's fun. It's like AAA golf, and, you know, they should have hot dog vendors running around, and, you know, people going, peanuts.
That'd be kind of cool. Turn it to like a baseball game.
Yeah, they could shoot hot dogs. The golfers could have like those hot dog shooters right in their bag, and they could like shoot hot dogs at people.
That'd be cool. See how fan-friendly that would be?
That'd be awesome. Augusta is changing their course again. Club has added 10 yards to the front of the first tee to provide more flexibility, i.e., we might have made it too long, so if we add 10 yards every couple of years, maybe we can shorten it again. Maybe.
Yep. I'm
just saying. Some of the guys last year couldn't reach the top of the hill. They couldn't even see the green from where their drives went.
No. This is their way of saying, oops.
Right. And Billy Payne seems to be, his influence is being felt far and wide, too, because no longer will USA be covering the first two rounds of the Masters. It's going to be on ESPN. You know, and I think this is a good move. ESPN will promote the crap out of it. Nobody watches USA, so who cares how many times they promote it. The hardcore golfers were always going to watch on USA. They'd watch it on wherever it is, especially if it was in high def. But ESPN is in high def in more places, and also a lot more people watch ESPN, so a lot more people will probably watch the first two rounds of the Masters.
Yeah, I think this is a great move. This is going to bring in a lot more people because the casual person who maybe doesn't watch a lot of golf, they see Augusta in high def, they're going to be glued to their TV.
Yeah, and Mike Tirico will host the ESPN telecasts. Of course, the ESPN also has weekday coverage Thursday, Friday of the U.S. Open. My only concern is that Chris Berman is not listed as the host of the U.S. Open rounds, but he's always there, and I can't stand it. So,
oh, I hope.
If he shows up at Augusta and gets any kind of airtime, click. I'm sorry, I'm not going to watch. I can miss 6 hours of Masters coverage on Thursday and Friday. I can watch online or something. Stay away,
imagine,
Chris.
No, I can't imagine that Augusta National is going to allow Chris Berman to be throwing out whatever he does
throwing
on their telecasts.
On the telecast.
Yeah.
New PGA Tour rule aids players like David Duval. David Duval took most of this year off. I think he played like -4 events this year. He played so little, he actually played negative events. Because he was home with his wife, who was bedridden with a pregnancy. So she was at home and he stayed with her. So now a new rule basically extends the major medical exemption to severe family issues. Dudley Hart and David Duval qualify, so they have a medical exemption basically for next year, based on the events of this year, of their very close family members. A good thing to do, but I don't know. You know, it's kind of a, you know, I applaud the tour for doing this because I think it's good. It's a little weird to backdate it and say, oh, by the way, you qualify.
Yeah, that is a little weird. I completely agree with it being a good rule, just saying, oops, it applied to this prior year. But, you know, Duval, he's fairly popular and, you know, it's a good rule.
There's only two players affected, so I'm not going to care. It'll be interesting to see how this gets applied going forward. You know, if your cousin gets sick, is that close family? You know, if they live next door to you, you know.
What if it's the family dog?
What if it's your nanny? We've had her. She's been with us for 10 years. She's like family. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this gets applied. And what exactly is serious enough? I certainly don't wish to make light of anyone's diseases or whatever, but, you know, is a bad case of hemorrhoids going to count or, you know, does this have to be kind of, you know, life-threatening or whatever? We'll see. It's a good thing. I just hope it stays a good thing and doesn't turn into abuse in order to keep, you know. Well, John Daly's wife was in prison, and that was hard on him. So we should give it to him, too. No, you know.
If it's the family crisis exemption, John Daly's going to have a lifetime exemption on the PGA Tour. Absolutely. It ran out of Diet Coke, didn't have any M&Ms. Yeah. You know, his MaxiFly golf balls are not the right ones.
Yeah. That's too much. I'm fine. That's a question since you haven't been on the podcast. Are you fine with John Daly basically not playing on the PGA Tour next year or what?
I don't have a problem with it. I mean, the guy is ultra talented, but he just doesn't care.
He's been given many chances.
Yeah, the chances are, they have to be done. I mean, it's got to be tough love with John from now on.
That about does it for episode 74 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. Check our show notes out for links to everything we've talked about this week. Feel free to write in, join our forum at thesandtrap.com/forum. Try to start a thread that's interesting enough that we choose it as the forum topic of the week. For Alan Olson, this is Eric Brzezinski saying, hit them straight, and if you hit your ball way off to the side, just claim that it went in the hole, and maybe people will believe you.
See ya.